We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, here we are on a wonderful Monday. I'll be honest with you. I've got the countdown clock going because of a wonderful event that I've got coming up in my wife here or with my wife here in a little over a month. And really excited about that. I hope that you've got plans this week and that your goal is for God to build you up, to build you up in your most holy faith, that you recognize your pastor, your Sunday school teachers, those in authority over you, that they are there to build you up, not to tear you down. And, you know, we talked about on last week's broadcast about the foundational work, which involves excavating and getting the unprofitable material out of our life, and so we're going to leave that in last week's. We're going to go on and begin to talk about the superstructure some this week, but I've got a message. I actually shared this message at our church a week ago on Sunday night. And, I'm going to read some things from the Word of God and share with you from the Word of God, but I'm also going to share some things from an article that, came to me from a magazine email. And so we'll get to that here in just a moment. First of all, I want to say thanks to the saints at Merit Assembly of God for their love, for getting the Word of God out and seeing people impacted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope that you were able to get to church yesterday. If you don't have a church, we would love for you to come to Merit Assembly of God. You will not find any perfect people at Merit Assembly of God. I'm not perfect. My wife's not perfect. My kids aren't perfect. They are awesome, but they're not perfect. And, you know, you just won't find perfect people. If you're waiting for perfect people, then you're going to be like the guy that was stranded on the desert island, and finally somebody came and he said, "Here, let me show you how I survived." And they said, "Well, this is my house, and this is my grocery store, and this is my library, and this is my post office, and all of that, and this is my church." And they said, "Well, what's that building over there?" And he said, "Oh, that's the church I used to go to before I got mad at everybody over there." He was the only one on the island. And you know, if you're looking for perfect people, you're not going to find them. But if you're looking for somebody who believes in you, believes in the God who is able to build you up, we would love to have you come and be a part of Merit Assembly of God. We just thank God. When I think back to the things that people have said about me through the years and the things that they've said about the church, and to see what God has been able to do now, I just give God all the glory and all the praise. So do not, you know, keep the sword of destruction in your hand of negative words that people have spoken over you, but instead arm yourself with the word of truth and the word of prophecy, the word of power that God has spoken over you, and watch him slay the giants in your land. So we want to give a shout out to Greg at Jits Concrete at 536-5804, 536-5804. If you need any help with a block or concrete work, they can help take care of you. They'll do a good job. So give them a call and tell them you heard about them here on Refresh. Before I get to the Word of God today, and I'm going to share, and this article ties in with the message, and I'm not going to share the whole article. I'm just going to share some of the highlights. I'm not even going to share everything I shared at with our church, but we were talking about last week about broken and wounded people, and you've all heard the saying that hurt people hurt people. You know, when people are wounded, they end up wounding other people. That doesn't have to be our reality, but it does tend to happen quite frequently. And so this is an article. It's written by a guy by the name of Joseph Matera. And if I've got here, he is a bishop and in New York and has written several books. And so it's written by another pastor. So these are not from me, but they were very enlightening to me. And so I thought that I would share them with you, because whether it applies to you or you can use this to be able to minister. See, we're called to minister to broken people. We're called to minister life to those who do not yet know life. And so I never want to get to the place where I just settle for a certain level and say, well, this must be all that God had for me. No, I believe that God has a healing. So let's go on and look at some of the things that he says. One of the first things that he says is that people who are hurting often transfer their anger onto their family and close friends. Hurting people often transfer their anger onto their family and close friends. You might be wondering why somebody's lashing out at you. I can tell you what I was told a long time ago, and this person said, Pastor, the reason that person is lashing out at you is because that they feel safe. They know you're a safe place, that you're not going to kill them. you're not going to lash out. You're not going to throw them away. And so aren't you thankful that Jesus, when he was upon the cross, didn't just say, you know what? I don't deserve what these people are doing to me. And God, I pray that you would activate those angelic beings right now and kill them all. Aren't you thankful that he didn't do that? And so we as forgiven people, we need to be a little more bearing and a little more compassionate with people who are going through trauma. I've got a friend, she's a nurse, and one of the things that she has told me is that and this wasn't just a me thing, it was a message. She's a friend of mine on Facebook. She said it to several people, that one of the most dangerous things that nurses go through is ministering to hurting people, because sometimes they lash out at the very people who are trying to heal them. So that's my comment on that. So the second thing is, people who are hurting tend to interpret every word and action through the prism of their pain. If they are hurting, everything, if the sun is shining, if somebody says, isn't this a glorious day? You know, you look nice today. It doesn't matter what you do or what you say. They are going to interpret it through their pain. Their pain is their filter. And because they're hurting, they're very, very sensitive to everything that is said and done. And so you just have to understand that. Number three, this was actually number four on his list, but he says, hurt people often portray themselves as victims and carry a victim mindset. Hurt people often portray themselves as victims and carry a victim mindset. Nothing good ever happens to me. They have a very difficult time entering into a trust relationship, and they often carry around a very suspicious spirit. They don't trust people because they've been victimized over and over again. By the way, I'll just say this. The devil wants to victimize you. He wants you to be a perpetual victim all your life. If something bad happened to you 10 years ago, he wants that to be a fresh, gaping, open wound right now. And we're going to deal with that from the Word of God here in just a little bit. This one made me go, It says, hurting people have the emotional maturity of the age they received their undealt with hurt. If something traumatic happened to them at a certain point in time, even though they may grow chronologically, they might graduate, they might move on and have all sorts of life experiences. But from an emotional standpoint, they're still trapped at that same level until God comes and heals them. They have a very difficult time moving past that one incident. The next one, hurt people are often frustrated and depressed because their pain continually spills over into their present circumstances. Just going to let that one stand on its own. Past pain continually spills over into the present. Hurt people often occupy themselves with busyness, work, performance, and other accomplishments as a way of compensating for low self-esteem. So they continue to just go, 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 go. I'm not saying that everybody who is doing that is compensating. You know, there are some people who are just naturally, supernaturally driven people. But there are some people who by the volume of their words, the volume of their actions, they're trying. It's like I talked about on a previous broadcast about the Leah mindset, that they are constantly trying to earn the love and respect of somebody else. If I produce a son, surely Jacob will love me. If I produce him another son, surely he will love me. If I produce him all of these kids, surely he's going to love. And finally, she gets to a place where she said, you know what, this time I'm just going to praise the Lord. And that became transformative in her life. The next one, hurt people often attempt to medicate themselves with excessive entertainment, drugs, alcohol, pornography, sexual relationships, or hobbies as a way to forget their pain and run from reality. And so, again, these are people who are hurting. Their foundation has come under attack, and they're just trying to cope, and they're just trying to get away from reality. The next one, hurting people are generally unaware that they are hurting other people themselves. Then he starts getting into a couple of solutions here. Let me just share those. God often allows the pain to surface so that people who are hurting can deal with the reality instead of running from it. And number 11, hurting people need to forgive to be released and restored to freedom. Today, I want to talk to you about hurting people. If you are that person, I want to take you in the Word of God to Galatians chapter 6. If you are not that person, if you've got a solid foundation, you are living in a hurting and broken and wounded world, and we need to be moved with compassion the same way that the Samaritan was when he came across that businessman who was laying on the side of the road. Other people were passing them by, but he said, you know what? Even though this is dangerous road, even though, you know, the nightfall is coming, I've got to help that man because he's wounded. He's hurting. If I don't help him, he's going to die. If we don't reach this lost and hurting world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are going to die. They're going to perish in their sins. In order for us to be able to minister to them, we have got to allow God to heal us. In Galatians chapter 6, verse number 16, it says this, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Galatians was one of the first books that Paul wrote. Paul had come from a background where he was a persecutor of the church. He thought he was doing God a favor by persecuting Christians. He was very hostile towards the church. He was on his way to Damascus to arrest and bring back to Jerusalem people who were of the faith. And on the way there, he had an encounter with Jesus. It left him blinded. It left him wounded. It left him disillusioned. It left him without direction. And he made it by the time he left to go to Damascus, a zealot. And when he got there, he arrived a blind and broken man. But, you know, I think that it's interesting that one of the first things that happened to Saul at that point in time was his name, was that God commissioned a man by the name of Ananias to go to him and bring healing to his eyes. It is true that he had a mission for Saul, later Paul, to go on, but one of the first things that had to happen was Saul had to be healed. You see, Saul was present when Stephen was martyred, and he was there giving his consent. He was holding the clothes of the people who were stoning him to death. He could have borne, in fact, he refers to himself because of that season in his life as the chiefest of sinners because he persecuted the church. And God had to bring not only healing to his eyes, but healing from his past. And he later said, you know, I count all of those things as dung, all of those things as refuge, as waste. It's all a waste. The only thing that ever mattered was what happened that day on the road to Damascus and from that day since. And so you and I, if we are going to be used and God is going to empower us to reach hurting people, we have got, let me be Ananias today. And let you know that no matter how badly you've been wounded, no matter how broken and fractured you may be, Jesus on this Monday, March the 9th, is your healer. He just doesn't heal some sickness or some disease. He heals it all. Now, Paul goes on, and this is very important because as the earliest letter that he wrote, listen to the timeline. This is going to set the stage for the entire rest of his ministry. And it says, from now on, let no one trouble me. Let no one cause me any problems. Let no one, like the Amplified Bible, it says, no one question my apostleship. Let no one cause me any problems or any hindrances. I'm a man on a mission. Let no one trouble me. Do you realize that in order for someone to trouble you, in order for someone to trouble me, that we have to give them permission to what they are doing to us on the outside to disturb us on the inside? We have to grant them access. And Paul said, look, I am not going to allow any of those other derogatory comments. We talked about those on some earlier broadcasts. We're not going to let that person's question, that person's criticism, we're not going to let any of that trouble us because we know, who we are in Jesus Christ. We know the work that he has done. We know that the foundation reaches all the way to bedrock, that there is a master architect that is at work on this project, that there is master craftsmen that he is working on us, and that we don't, listen, I don't need somebody else's stamp of approval to know whether or not I'm right where I'm supposed to be. When I ask for people to say amen at church, that's not because I'm asking for their stamp of approval. I'm looking to them to say amen to the word of God, so be it to the word of God, so that they will apply the victory and they will say, you know what, that's going to be a reality in my life as well. From now on, let no one trouble me. You know, through the years, we've had a lot of people come, and a lot of people have passed through the doors. And I used to really, really be bummed because I was always under the mindset that, you know, if I preached the word and loved people, that people would just flock to the church. And I'm 22 years into senior pastoring, and I've discovered that that's a pipe dream. That's just not a reality. God gave us a word a long time ago, And it was this, that Merit Assembly of God would be a spiritual hospital. We're about restoring value spiritually and relationally to broken lives. That's who we are. And what he spoke to me is when people go to a hospital, a lot of times once they're made well, then they move on. They don't stay in the hospital. They get discharged to make room for more broken and wounded people. And you know, that doesn't fit with a church growth mindset. You know, God gave me another word, and he said, if you will focus on building my kingdom, I'll focus on building this congregation. And so that's what we're here to do. We want people to be made whole, to be delivered from hurt to health, and we let God worry about the numbers and the accounting systems. Until then, we're just going to keep doing the thing that God's called us to do, knowing that we're right where God has placed us to be. Let me get back to the Word of God. It says, "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." The Amplified Bible describes those marks in two ways. The first way that it marks it is as a brand or as indicative marks of ownership of the Lord Jesus. Do you know that you belong to Jesus? I'm not talking about because you sang words to a song. I mean because you have been to the altar and you have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, and you came away a new creation, that you walked away not just having your sins forgiven where you encountered Jesus as Savior, but you walked away hand in hand with your Lord, your Savior, the one who bought and paid for you, where Paul says, "I am no longer my own. I am bought with a price. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me." Do people recognize the evidence of Christ's lordship and ownership in your life? Paul went through all sorts of traumatic experiences, shipwrecked, stoned, beaten with rods, thrown to wild beasts. He was actually drug out of a city, stoned to death. God raised him up, marched right back in the city. Do you ever wonder how he could do that? It's because he loved Jesus, and he said, "You know what? My destiny's not fulfilled. I got a promise that I'm supposed to preach someplace else. And so I'm just going to go right back in there, testify to the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and move on and proclaim the good news someplace else." I bear on my body the marks of the Lord Jesus, marks of ownership. But this is what I want to end with today. The last indication there in the Amplified Bible and also in the Message, I believe it is, it talks about the scars. "For I bear on my body the scars of the Lord Jesus." And you say, what in the world is that all about? Well, we started off this broadcast today talking about people who are hurting, gaping wounds, hurt, the way that those hurts manifest. They manifest through words. They manifest through people getting mad at you. They manifest through people, you know, storming off and, you know, quitting jobs and all that sort of stuff. It manifests at the workplace, manifests at home. It manifests, you know, people sometimes throw things, you know, as an ultimate manifestation. People kill other people and all sorts of stuff. It manifests in a lot of different ways. But here's what Paul didn't say. "From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the wounds of the Lord Jesus." It talks about the marks or the scars. And scars are a testimony that where there used to be wounds, where there used to be bleeding, where there used to be damage, that God in his sovereignty as the great physician had designed not only in our body, but in our spirit, that he would bring healing. Paul said, "I'm not going to let anybody trouble me, because every time they wound me, Jesus heals me." Every time they wound you, Jesus will heal you. Every time. I'll say it again. Every time you're wounded for the cause of Christ, Jesus will heal you. If they kill you, you get to spend eternity with Jesus. You say, "Well, that's kind of extreme." You know, we're so far away so far away from the physical persecution, we forget about missionaries who've gone on before us, who died on the mission field, and God used that as a life-altering experience for that community, and a church was planted in that community instead. Sometimes the people, the survivors of the people who were killed, actually led the people who killed their loved ones to Jesus. How can you do that? Only when you refuse to nurture the wounds and nurture the bitterness. Somebody needs to hear this. Sometimes the greatest wound is not the physical wound. Sometimes it's the bitterness that the enemy will bring into your life. And at that point in time, you need God to remove that bitterness. Here's the danger about bitterness. Simon the sorcerer had bitterness in his heart, and it disqualified him from ministry. Peter said, "You have no part in this ministry because I perceive that you have bitterness in your heart." Don't allow the enemy to deprive you of ministering life to a hurting and broken world. Today, if you are hurting and wounded, I just want to ask you, will you trust Jesus to bring healing to your life? If you know somebody who's hurting, let me tell you what that last verse says. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Today, you might not be going through a hurt. Jesus may have healed you of your hurt and pain, but he's got you surrounded by people who are hurting, maybe broken relationships, unemployed, just diagnosed with a sickness, whatever it may be. And I want to pray the grace of God be upon you today to minister healing to hurting people. Let's start praying today first for those who are hurting. Father, right now, we know for a reality that there are multitudes, thousands upon thousands right here in Brevard County who are hurting. God, they have been violated. They have been wounded. They have been damaged. And God, I know this, that you don't wish them to exist in that condition. And I pray, God, that you would bring healing right now. Lord, it may be people in a church. Lord, sometimes people in church do hurtful things. I pray that you would lavish your healing upon them right now. And Lord, for those who are ministering to broken people, may you envelop them with your grace. May there be just an overflow. May they be immersed in the grace of God, empowered to minister to people beyond their own capabilities. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, bring you something new.